He's poured out much preparation in our lives for what he wants us to be doing beginning in this year, 2015. And we've been talking about these things, talking about the kingdom of God. And I've also talked about it's going to take a commitment to fulfill what God wants us to do, not only individually, but as a church. And also we need to commit to sowing and reaping if we are going to be successful in the kingdom of God. A couple of weeks ago, I talked about sowing and reaping, and it's not just sowing money, but it's sowing anything that you have need of. I always like to use the example love, because it seems like in this day and age, so many people are lacking in love. And so start sowing love, and let me tell you, you're going to receive an abundant harvest of love that will come back to you. Amen? All right. Now, it's also going to take vision and working toward fulfilling that vision. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. So let's refresh our memory on about the importance of having a vision as a church. And even having vision as individuals. Some people call it their life's verse, but I like vision. It sounds more profound. But if we're looking at Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, in parentheses it says, no redemptive revelation of God, the people perish, but he who keeps the law of God, happy is he. Now we'll read it again. Where there is no vision, no redemptive revelation of God, the people perish, but he who keeps the law of God, happy is he. Now, what is this redemptive revelation of God that the writer of Proverbs is talking about? Well, it means to know God intimately. Not just to know about God, but to know him on a personal basis. Know him on a day-by-day basis. Have that time in relationship with him where you spend that time just with him and no one else. And you see, this is what the glory of God is all about. You can't have the relationship with God without being touched by the glory of God. Amen? So it's in this redemptive knowledge of God that we begin to receive and understand the glory of God. And just his presence can change your life forever. Amen? Just the presence that we receive here during the praise and worship as a pastor, I can see how much it has changed people in this church. It has changed the direction of this church. And I'm gonna start doing some things to even take us deeper into worship, I think starting next Sunday. But anyway, do you understand what we've said so far? Hope my voice hangs on. But what is the vision of this church? Right there. Declare his glory among the peoples, his wonders among the nations. That's what God is going to hold us personally, individually, and corporately as a church. He's going to hold us responsible for that vision. And what is the vision all about? What does it say? Declare his what? Glory. It's about his glory. And we're in such a relationship with God that he's actually giving us a privilege of declaring his glory. We're going to have such an experience with his glory that we're going to be able to get out and share it not only with people locally, but with the nations. And in the midst of all of that glory, we're going to see the signs, the wonders, the miracles that are going to happen, and we'll be declaring them as well. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds exciting. And I'm tired of just church. I really am. It's time to get up and get busy in the kingdom, okay? Great difference between the kingdom of God and the church. All right? So the glory of God is telling others about what you've seen, what you've experienced, and then introducing them to the glory of God. Amen? Now, we can apply the same explanation to the vision. You can know about the vision, but not do anything about it. You can know about the vision. You can talk about the vision. You can write it on the wall up here. But if you don't do something about it, then it'll never function. It'll never fly. It becomes worthless, literally, and it will leave you empty-handed in the end. You do realize we're going to stand before God one day, do you not? And do you understand that there's purposes that God has given every one of us, and you're not just going to sneak in? Okay, you're going to have to explain your purpose, how you did it, how fulfilling it was, how prosperous it was, or why you didn't do it. Amen? Now, we don't like that, but God is holding us responsible for something that He's given us individually and corporately as a church. You see, in other words, we're not storing up treasures in heaven if we just know about the vision. We've got to be busy serving the vision in order to be building up those things that are going to be beneficial when we get into the kingdom of heaven. Now, you can be a servant who serves the vision. You can be a servant that serves the vision. That's God's way. Or you can be a visitor who has a choice about serving the vision. So which one do you want to be? And too many churches, when it comes to vision, the church is primarily made up of visitors who are just there and have no concern about serving the vision. And I don't want to be a visitor. I've been a visitor before, but I don't want to be that. I want to be one who's actively fulfilling the vision of God, okay? And that's what I do every Sunday when I stand or sit before you. I'm doing what God is telling me to do. I'm saying to you what God is saying to me that you need to hear in order that you can help fulfill the vision that God has given us. Can you say amen? All right. So it's that you serve the vision that is important to God. Now, Jesus was a servant. If you read any of the word at all, you know that he went around serving sick people, people who had lack, people who were in bondage, even served some who had died prematurely by raising them up. And we could call Jesus a servant of servants. He demonstrated this characteristic to his disciples, and especially on that night before he was about to be beaten and then hung on a cross and crucified. A very profound illustration he showed the disciples. And so I want us to look at that this morning. Now I'm going to read this story out of John chapter 13. John chapter 13. And I don't know, Jesse, if you're able to put the whole thing up there by moving it or whatever. But anyway, it starts in verse 1, John chapter 13, verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he would depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, and he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Jesus, Jesus knew that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God. So he arose from supper and laid hands or laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. And after that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel with which he was girded. And then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? And Jesus answered and said to him, what I am doing with you, do not understand now, but you will know after this. And Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. That's a pretty scary statement when you stop and think about it. Of course, Peter, you know, Peter was kind of a drama queen, if you want to put it in today's terms. You know, he was always stepping out doing something that Jesus had to correct him for or rebuke him or whatever. But this was real serious with Jesus, and it's real serious with us, because there's a lesson here that Peter needed to learn, and there's a lesson here that that you and I need to learn. I'm having trouble talking this morning. Amen. If I do not wash you, you have no part with me. And Simon Peter said to Jesus, and he said, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew he would betray him, therefore he said, you are not all clean. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say well, for so you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you assuredly, I say unto you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you what? If you do them. Okay? If you do them. Now, we have placed our doctrine on the wrong emphasis of this story. Jesus was not necessarily calling each one of us to take turns washing one another's feet. Even though there are churches that do that, and they are founded on the doctrine of foot washing. But it's an act of humility that we all need to practice. And if you feel like you need to wash someone's feet and you have their permission, then that's between you and that person. But what you need to focus on is having humility grounded in your own life. Now, the real doctrine that we need to look at this morning is found in verse 16. Verse 16, Jesus says, I assure you most solemnly, I tell you, a servant is not greater than his master, and no one who is sent is superior to the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed and happy are you if you do them, or if you practice them. You and I are called to be a servant, just like your master Jesus, and you are not to seat yourself on the throne of pride and think that you're better or higher than anyone else around you when it comes to kingdom things. Well, actually, you shouldn't do it even in the worldly way of living, but it happens. But Jesus is not looking for proud people. He's looking for humble people who can humble themselves in any situation and be a blessing to the person and be a blessing to the kingdom of God. So the real truth of all of this is that if you carry out the role of the servant, you are going to be blessed, and Scripture says, and you're going to be happy. How many of you need a dose of happy this morning? We all do. I mean, it's a common thing. So, does anyone have trouble understanding what we're talking about here? Humility, and then getting with the program, doing what Jesus has told us to do. So what is serving? Well, we've been talking about this for years. Serving is finding a need and meeting that need. Serving is finding a hurt and healing that hurt. This was a characteristic of Jesus, and it was also a characteristic of the early church back in the book of Acts. And it's absolutely, definitely supposed to be a characteristic of River of Life Church in 2015. I'm not speaking in behalf of other churches, because that's between them and God. But I'm speaking in behalf of this church and what God has called this church to be. But we don't see people serving people like we should. I'll tell you right now, it's difficult to keep teachers in place. We have teachers that have volunteered, and that's great. I praise God. We need them. But being here when they're supposed to be is the problem. And see, anytime you make a commitment like this, you're making it to God, not me, not the elders of this church, not even to the people of this church, but you're making a commitment to God. And that ought to be one of the primary things in your life, that you're going to make sure that job is fulfilled, that it's being taken care of. It would be just like Daniel. I absolutely trust Daniel to come on Sunday nights and bring the message or whatever God tells him to do. But if Daniel doesn't have any commitment, I'm going to receive words periodically, well, Daniel didn't even show up. And that's not Daniel, by the way. But to make a point, you see, he's committed to it. And nothing will keep him back. And if he can't be here, he'll always let me know so that we can make other arrangements or whatever. Amen? And that's the kind of committed people that make a church and can step into the kingdom of God and begin to see things flourish in this church. Amen? Now, in the book of Acts, we find the following type of services. And I want you to keep in mind, you know, through time, services change, okay? This is out of Acts chapter 2, verse 44. They had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and distributed the proceeds among all according to as many as had need. Day after day, they regularly assembled in the temple with a united purpose. I like that, a united purpose. And that's what every church must have, is a people with a united purpose. And in their homes, they broke bread, and they moved about from house to house. Now, most of the churches back then didn't have church buildings. So that was the way they stayed, you know, on the up and up with, by meeting in different people's houses, you know, periodically. So these ministries met the needs of the people in that particular place and time. And it's up to us today to seek the heart and the wisdom of God to learn how we might minister to the needs of people in this time that we're living in. Let me tell you, meeting the needs of people today can become expensive. Amen? Now, our shortcoming is that we read something like this, purpose in our hearts that, you know, we're going to do something about it. I'm going to go out and sell my possessions or some of my possessions, and I'm going to help people someplace. And what happens is that we miss the whole point of ministry that Jesus had taught. We even have garage sales. We sell our possessions. But most of the time, what do we do with the money? We keep it. Is that right? If you're walking in the kingdom like you're supposed to be, if you're going to get rid of that stuff, the proceeds should go to helping people that need the help. Now, I'm saying that we need to ask God for strategies to minister to the needs of those around us. There was a time period in this church where we gave a sack of groceries and clothes every week to people who had a need. And it was a good ministry, but it was still not what Jesus intended for us to do with it. At least we were doing something, but it's not what Jesus wants us to do in the realm of serving. What happened in that ministry was, first of all, we had just a handful of people who were committed to preparing things. You see, it took a semi-truck of food to roll up here one day, and there has to be somebody there to unload it. And so we would find people who would commit to that, and we'd get the food unloaded. But that was just the first step. Second step was you get it in the building, and then somehow you had to figure out a way to divide it so that you could minister it. So again, we'd have to have people come and put the food in sacks. We used to try to put the same amount in each sack so nobody felt slighted or anything. But again, we're just talking about a few people, just a small amount of people in the church who were actually doing this. And what God has called you to do is to reach out to people, you individually, to reach out to people. And not just be a part of a little ministry in the church where, you know, you do a little something and then they come to church and get it. In fact, we discovered that there was just a small handful of people that would come to get it, but that's all they came to church for, was to get it. They had no idea about what was going on in the church, and they didn't want to know. All they wanted was that little bit of food and clothes. And so, you know, what we should have been doing is having people who would follow up these people. Go to their home, talk to them, pray with them, try to bring them into the kingdom of God, demonstrate the power of the kingdom to them instead of just letting them come and taking what they wanted. You understand the difference? Okay. So how can you help people around you with what you have and the anointing that you carry? Well, let's look in Acts chapter 4, verse 34. Neither was there a destitute or needy person among them, for as many as were owners of land or houses proceeded to sell them, and one by one they brought the amount received from the sales, and they laid it at the feet of the apostles. And then distribution was made according as anyone has need. Now, the first person that I would probably hear from would be, well, Pastor, I'm not going to sell my house or property for no one, you know. God didn't ask you to do that. But see, the devil's going to make you think that ministering to people is so overwhelming that you can't do it, or that you can't do it alone. And most of us, if we did that, we'd end up like Ananias and Sapphira. We'd sell our house, yes, but we would keep some of the profits. And then we'd grieve the Spirit of God. So we don't need to be doing that type of stuff because we don't have the ability to walk like that yet. But reality again is to seek the face of God, to see how God would have us individually and collectively to minister to people around us every day. You've got people around you every day, and there's ways to touch their lives if you'll just listen to God. And God has a beautiful purpose for all of us individually. If only we would let Him have our life to do with what He wants us to do. And that means laying your life down. And if you'll notice, the last messages for about the last 6 weeks have come to the point of laying your life down. If we're not willing to lay our lives down, then what good are we going to be able to do for the kingdom of God? Jesus came to the place where the Father asked Him to lay down His life. And if Jesus could lay down His life and be tortured in the way that He was and then hang on a cross and die, why can't we make a commitment to do something for the Lord? We don't, He's not calling us to die on a cross. He's just calling us to get busy demonstrating and fulfilling the kingdom of God that is here. That's like me telling you, you've got a brand new Cadillac that just came in and it's ready, it's serviced, it's paid for, and all you need to do is drive it off. But I'm not going to tell you where it's at. So how are you ever going to drive that Cadillac? You can't, because you don't know where it's at. It's the same thing with the kingdom of God. God has given us so many things that will boggle the mind in the kingdom. But if we won't go get it, then we're never going to be able to use it. I hid your Cadillac, but God has not hid the kingdom. You understand that? We know where the kingdom is. All we have to do is step out and start doing what God called us to do. Do you understand that now? All right. So a servant says, "Yes, Lord." Yes, Lord. And this is kind of confusing too, because when I get up here and I say, you know, we need some help around the church. You know, we need people to commit to some things around the church. And the first thing that normally happens is that nobody responds. It's like we've got this mentality that, you know, there's somebody out there that's going to do this, but not me. You understand that? And not me is not getting nothing done. But when you make a commitment, you know, I don't care what it is, then stand behind that commitment and get it done. If it entails every day, do it every day. If it's just once a week, do it once a week. And it's the same thing with the kingdom of God. You've got to step into it and get it done. There's, you know, God's not going to send you an angel to lead you by the hand into His kingdom to work. You've got to get there on your own. Okay? So, when God says, "I want you in the kingdom today, I want you serving in the kingdom today," just simply say, "Yes, Lord," and take a step. Because when you say, "Yes, Lord," and take a step, then here comes God's provision. Everything that you need to serve that day is going to be handed to you. Amen? And so we have to get beyond this mentality of "I can't." The biggest lie the devil ever told the church is "I can't." And we can. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen? Now, the servant is to say, "Yes, Lord." But pride says, "What's in it for me? How much am I going to get out of this? You know, if I come vacuum the church, what's in it for? How much are you going to pay me? And I'm not just trying to get servants in the church. We need them in the kingdom of God. Okay, the church is an incidental that still has little jobs that need to be done every week. But we need the people. We need people coming into the kingdom of heaven. Because those people are going to go to hell if nobody reaches them. And you can explain that away 950,000 times, but they're still going to go to hell if you don't get out and do what God wants you to do. Bottom line. The focus of this church has to change if we're going to be a part of a church that people want to be a part of. I mean, would you rather go to some dull church that where absolutely nothing's going on, you just go and sit there for an hour and go home and feel absolutely nothing? Or at least go to a church and you get in there, there's life in that church. You know, people are vibrant. They're involved in praise and worship, and they're excited about, you know, giving testimonies about what happened in the kingdom of God this week. Wouldn't you rather go to that church? Well, that's what we need to work at being, is that church. Because if we get that way, then people are going to want to come. Even people who don't know Jesus are going to hear things about this church, and they're going to come and check it out just to see what it is. In Acts chapter 3, people went about serving those around them. And we find an interesting statement here in Acts 3, verse 47. Acts 3:47, praising God and being in favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Sound like an exciting church, doesn't it? And who added to that exciting church every day? The Lord. Lord brought people. And why? Because God wanted people placed in that church. He wanted them to find a place of service so that their lives also would be changed. That's our responsibility, to see lives of people changed. And God wants to see us prosper individually and collectively as a church. Prosper. Because when we prosper, we can meet more and more needs of people. It goes back to the law of sowing and reaping. If this church starts sowing by giving people, the needy people that need stuff or whatever, you know, whatever it is, then we're going to begin to receive back a harvest of blessings. And God is faithful to that word. And you've got to see that. God is faithful to his word if we will just follow through. Amen? All right. Let me give you one final thought from Jesus. As Jesus finished washing the feet of the disciples, the scripture says that he stood up, he put on his outer garment, and then he sat down. And as he sat down, he asked this question to the disciples in John 13:12. Do you understand what I have done to you? Do you understand what I've done to you? For 3.5 years, Jesus had demonstrated the life of humility to each one of them. And now he had physically applied that humility to each one of them individually by washing their feet. Being a servant with a heart of love is the highest honor in the kingdom of heaven. Amen? The highest honor. And again, we're not literally talking about that you have to wash somebody's feet, even though it can be done if you want to do that. But it has to do with being the loving servant that is constantly looking for opportunities to serve those in need. Amen? So, it's time for us to step into this ministry of being a servant. And remember, there's a statement in the scripture. I don't remember what the scripture was now, but where Jesus said, you know, I'm not going to call you servant. I'm going to call you friend. And the reason he said that is because he could see that you're already a servant. But he wants you to know that you're also like that with him. You're his friend. And why? Because you're loving with the same love that he loves with. Amen. That's called relationship. So you need to make a daily lifestyle and start looking for needs that need to be met. And look for hurts that need to be healed. And that even means right here in the church. I mean, we have hurts come through this church. And if you hang around the church long enough, you're gonna begin to get some discernment. That's one of the gifts that God gives by the Spirit of God. And I'm telling you, I know several in our church have this ability. But people can walk through the door and immediately you can look at them and see they're hurting. They haven't said one word to you yet, but they're hurting. So that's your opportunity. Before we get out of this building, you have an opportunity to go talk to that person. And just visit with them a few minutes. Maybe it's something that you can help them with sometime during the week even. But take advantage of these things, because you will be richly rewarded, the scripture says, not only in this life, but in the life to come. Amen? So we need servants in this church. Our church is down in attendance right now, but that's all right. Jesus worked with 12 people. We can work with 12 or 15 or 20. It doesn't make no difference. Let's just be faithful like he was. And God can be faithful to us. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word, the power of your word, Lord. And Father, for helping us understand what it means to be a servant. What it means to be able to step out beyond our pride, beyond our insecurity even, our inabilities that we think that we can't do anything. And just step out trusting you, Father, and see some great things begin to happen. Father, I hope every person in this room is standing with this church right now for the building. Father, that's something that we can't do ourselves. So it's our responsibility to stand and pray and trust you. And it's the same way with serving. If it's something that we can't do ourselves, then Lord, we're going to trust that you'll show us how to get it done. Because you're faithful. All you desire out of us is the inclination to get it done. And Father, I pray that every person will take that with them today. And this week, let's have a church full of people getting things done in the kingdom of God. Father, I rejoice in you because of all of the things that you've already done for us. But Father, I know you've got some great, exciting things that are coming, and they're coming quickly, Lord. So we need to be ready. We need to be on our best behavior and our ability sharpened, Lord, to be ready to do what you're going to work in us and through us in this time. So we just give you all of the glory, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So